You're listening to the Brown Girl Podcast, a new show discussing various cultural and mainstream topics that impact our community from the perspectives of South Asian women. The show also aims to highlight South Asian women creators, business owners, and pioneers who are paving the way for future generations. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever your podcasts are found. If you're on Instagram, give us a follow at thebrowngirl_podcast to stay up to date on new releases and stay engaged with our community. Thanks for tuning in. Hey guys, Julie here, host of the Brown Girl Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. This is episode 9, and today's show is centered around highlighting South Asian female content creators. So I'm excited to have Umbly Jost on the show today. Umbly is someone who wears many hats, including being a model and a digital content creator. She has a growing social media presence and following, and it is in that capacity that she is on the show today. So we have lots of fun conversations planned today. You'll hear about her journey, how she got into what she's doing today, some of the fun campaigns she's worked on. We will chat through what it's like behind the scenes, everything from photo shoots, brand partnerships, the mental health component that comes with that, and how she manages it all. So Umbly, thank you so much for being on the show today and squeezing in time to do this.
Thank you, Julie. I am so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, of course. So why don't we just start off with just having you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, your background, just give us a quick overview.
For sure. Well, one, I think you already did a great job, but yes, I'm Umbly. I was born and raised in Chicago, and then for some time I was living in Florida, then I worked in Seattle, and then I was back in Chicago. I feel like I've kind of lived all over, studied abroad in Egypt, also lived in Honduras. So I think getting out of my comfort zone was something that became comfortable for me. And so I'm hoping that with this new journey that I'm on with being a content creator, in addition to being a financial analyst, I'm able to inspire other people to try something new or chase their dreams, which, to be honest, I still feel like is a little taboo in our South Asian community. So definitely trying to break some of those stereotypes there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. So I know you mentioned, so you are a financial analyst, so you have a corporate day job. I know you also have several educational degrees under your belt. So tell us a little bit more on that. And then also just tell us, I guess, what the general expectations, you know, your parents had for you growing up. Like, your ethnic background is Malayali, right? So you're from Kerala. So what did your parents have in mind for you growing up in terms of career and education?
Yeah, those are really good questions, Julie. So let's start with childhood. I grew up as the oldest in my household, and my parents definitely had a more traditional way of raising us. And so I would say that growing up, my parents' dream was for me to be a doctor. So I kind of followed in that realm. Towards the end of high school, I applied for a few direct medical programs, which combines undergrad with medical school together. I remember I got accepted into a 6-year medical program, and my parents were so ecstatic. But I felt really hesitant because I felt like up until that point, all I knew, all I breathed was this idea of going into medicine, but I didn't know if this is exactly what I wanted. And throughout my life, I'd been dancing and singing and really into the arts. And even though, I tried to be very like studious and book smart throughout school, but I just didn't know if this was my calling. And I didn't know if this was something that I wanted to commit to at 17 or 18 years old. So this was something that I turned down. And to be honest, my parents were very disappointed in the beginning. And I felt like I was the black sheep. I felt like I was treated like the black sheep. And I think, to be honest, that kind of motivated me a little bit more to show them, you know, I'm not taking your sacrifices for granted. I know they came to this country. I know it was hard for them, especially, you know, they came to this country knowing barely any English with a few dollars in their pockets, and they provided for us to have a better life. I wanted to show them, let me do my own path and show you that I'll be okay. Mm-hmm. So I graduated with an accounting and marketing degree. I started my career in Florida, and then I moved to Seattle where I was working at Amazon. And then now I'm back in Chicago working in finance at Pepsi. But I would say in terms of the content creation, that definitely started more so with the pandemic.
Awesome. Yeah. So let's dive right into that. Like, tell us about how you started your journey as a content creator and digital media influencer and what your mission is with all of that.
So, I think during the pandemic is when I made a lot of my major life decisions. One, I quit my job at Amazon and I moved to Chicago because I wanted to be closer to family. And two, I just started to do some introspection into my life and what my childhood was like. These are things I didn't really do before because there's so much outside noise from traveling, from being able to go out and see friends, all the things that were normal before a pandemic. And once things got isolated and I had a lot more time to myself, that's when I started to look back at my childhood and realize how I was never comfortable with my identity. I remember the media showcased a very specific standard of beauty, and that was blonde hair and blue eyes. And I felt like it was very rare to find another girl who looked like me taking on a leadership role or being on the big screen on TV. So I felt like I didn't have anyone to look up to, and almost everyone around me, especially growing up on the border of Wisconsin, all my friends were white. So I struggled hard, excuse me, to embrace my culture. And even though I was in Indian dance and I trained at Bharatanatyam and even Indian folk classes starting at 5 years old, up until the point where I finished high school, I was so shy to discuss this with my friends, because I was worried that I'd be seen as quote unquote different. But I would say it was only when I grew older, when I realized that what truly makes us unique is what also makes us beautiful. And so my culture, I felt, was a huge part of my identity that only again, once I grew older, I was able to openly love it. And with this shift, I learned to finally love myself. So I would say knowing that there are other people that could have shared a similar experience to me or are going through the same thing now, I took it upon myself to say, you know what? I want to create this safe space on my platform, share my story in hopes that even one person is able to relate and feel comfortable in their identity, feel comfortable being in the skin that they're in. And regardless of what culture you hail from, it's part of your identity. So love it, cherish it. It's what makes you you. And that is truly such a beautiful thing. And that's how my message started.
Amazing. I love it. I think what you're doing is so important. There's so many spaces where there's just not enough representation of our South Asian community, and
For sure.
it is important for younger generations to see that so that they can get that glimpse of inspiration and feel validated and confident that this is a path that they can also pursue. Like, it sends that message that there is a place for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so with regard to social media, like, we know that social media, like, especially in the last decade, has completely altered the landscape of how companies and businesses market their services and reach people. And then along the same vein, like, everyday people have kind of catapulted to becoming these online sensations. Or quote social media influencers, where because of the audience and reach, companies are approaching them to help with their marketing strategies. So, give us some behind the scenes insight into this world of influencer marketing. Like, how do brand partnerships work? Like, do they reach out to you or vice versa? Like, give us the 411 on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say before I even started in this content creation world, I saw it as just pretty pictures or pretty videos, and I didn't think much more of it. I didn't think truly that it was that much work. It was only when I got into this world that I realized it is a startup. You are wearing so many hats, and it's way more than pretty pictures and videos. And so for anyone that is, out there being a content creator, being a designer, whatever it is, and putting your face out there, I have so much more respect for people in the space because I see how much work goes into it. So I kind of touched on wearing multiple hats. So yes, in the beginning, you're reaching out to brands, you're negotiating contracts, negotiating compensation, you're creating contracts, you're creating invoices. Essentially, you're your own accountant. You're creating copy. You're researching different hashtags and learning about SEO. You're securing venues, or you're securing studios, or you're securing an outside location for the photographs. You're securing the photographer. You're securing hair and makeup. You're creating mood boards on Pinterest to have a design inspo for the work, and communicating this to the photographer, communicating this to the hair and makeup artist, communicating this to the brand so that they're aligned to your vision. Then you're creating the posts, or you're creating the reel. And the list literally can go on and on and on. It's just so much work. And again, I have so much respect for people that do this, because especially when they're juggling kids or even a full-time role, this is a second full-time job, but it's just one that doesn't turn off, and you have to really love it to be able to continue in this and be consistent. Yeah. It's been so much fun. I will say, even though it sounds a little daunting with what I said, I'm having so much fun and I'm learning so much throughout this process. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm learning way more in this than I am in like my 9-to-5, where, you know, I'm working for like a Fortune 50 corporate role where, you know, I pretty much know what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this, it's truly such a startup environment that every day I'm learning something new, I feel like. So it's for anyone that wants to do this, it is such, you're going to learn a lot, and you're going to learn a lot quickly. It's, you know, just buckle up for the ride. It's so fun though.
Wow. I had no idea. I'm so glad you shared all that, because, you know, for the outside world, for the rest of us, it looks so easy. But clearly that's not the case. So, you know, when you do photo shoots, for example, like, are you the one scheduling the photo shoots with the photographer, or does the brand facilitate that? Like, let's just say, for example, a clothing company reaches out to you on a collaboration and they, you know, want you to model some of their outfits. Is it on you to schedule the photo shoot and, you know, and all of that? Or is it the brand that helps coordinate that?
So for my experience, it's usually been me. I usually reach out to different photographers and try to secure it myself. I think there could be opportunities in the future for brands to work on that for you, or have maybe even a list of vetted photographers, stylists, etc., that can support. But as of right now, I've been doing that all on my own.
Got it. And I know you kind of touched on this, but like, is it always monetary compensation involved, or is it exchange of products, or is it a combination of both? Sometimes this or that. How does that work?
Such a good question. And I also want to talk about mental health too, when it relates to this, because I'm at a point where I'm taking on almost all of my work as paid collaborations, because as I mentioned, you're wearing so many hats and it's so much work behind the scenes that if you continue to do non-paid work, you burn out. And I did burn out over the summer. So I can definitely touch more on that later on. But absolutely, there's all these different types of brand deals that you could do. You can do unpaid, you could do paid, you can do gifted product, you can do gifted product plus getting paid. It just depends on the brand and what they're willing to offer. So I would say the compensation truly varies. It varies based on the brand and what they're willing to offer. It also depends on your experience and what you're able to negotiate. But I will say, when I first started, there were a lot of times where I was doing unpaid collaborations where I didn't receive anything and I promoted the product and actually even had to return the product sometimes. But I knew this was a good opportunity to be able to build up my portfolio and hopefully in the future take on more paid opportunities.
Got it. And tell us like what some of your favorite campaigns or partnerships are that you've had a chance to collaborate on.
Express has been my favorite partnership,
Yes.
hands down. Girl, that one took me 11 months to get. And I remember when they told me that they wanted me to be their partner, I cried. I cried for maybe like 2 hours because I remember in the background, like I tried so hard to, I really, really wanted it. I wear Express, almost every time that I go out. It's a brand that I just really love. And I also noticed that there wasn't as much representation in mainstream media. And so by having this partnership with them and even being featured, I think the day that I got featured on their page, I will say that was probably one of the best days of my life because one, I didn't know another Malayali Christian girl that was featured on Express. And when I was a little girl, I could have only dreamed of seeing someone who looked like me on mainstream media. So once I had gotten featured, I received so many DMs from people saying, I've inspired them to get out of their comfort zone and start a fitness page or go after their dream, whatever it was. And to me, it was just such a fulfilling moment because I felt like, all the work that I put in for the last 11 months, in that moment alone, I felt like I checked something off of my own bucket list, and I was hoping that this could create ripples for other people to do
Yeah, I love it. I can just like feel the joy in your voice. That's huge,
the
though. Congratulations.
same. Thank you. I appreciate
So awesome. I'm so excited to see more of what you'll do with that.
it.
How did the recent Facebook and Instagram outage from earlier this month impact you? Like, what was going on through your mind that day when Instagram was down for 6 hours or however long it was?
Yeah, that is a really good question. I remember that was actually the day after I found out that Express posted me on their page, and a lot of my friends, including you, were reposting it to your story. So for 6 hours, I wasn't able to like go on Instagram, and I knew that, a lot of my friends are reposting my story, and I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so bad because I don't know when Instagram is gonna come back up, and I didn't want to neglect anyone that was willing to support me. So I would say maybe the first 30 minutes to an hour, I definitely freaked out. And especially as someone that is a content creator, social media is such a big part of your presence and I guess quote unquote business. But then after the hour, I was like, you know what? This is probably a good thing to just shut off from social media for some time. And I was able to just go outside. I remember I went outside for I think like an hour long walk during my lunch break. Then came back into like I came back into my space. I cleaned my room a little bit. And I just shut off. And I was like, you know what? When it comes back on, it comes back on, but let me just be present and enjoy this moment. And I think truly it was a good thing because I think everyone needs to plug off of social media for some time, and it allowed me to reset and realize, your family and your friends and even your pets are the most important things in this life. And even if social media dies down for a day or 2 days, life will go on.
Yes. Okay, so you weren't worried that like Instagram was going to be down forever. You felt confident and that it was going to return.
Yeah, I knew it was going to return. It was more of a question of when it would return. But yeah, I wasn't too worried.
Good, good. Okay. And then like I guess what has been the general feedback and or support from friends and family been like, or just even strangers since you started this venture, And I ask that question because especially in our brown community, in our South Asian community, like this whole digital content creation space is not exactly following that traditional path. Is a lot of it is very unfamiliar territory for them. So, what has been your experience like? Like, have you received a lot of support? Have you experienced some criticism or judgment? Like, talk to us about that.
Yeah, so I'll start with my family. So I, for the longest time, didn't really tell my parents what I was doing. I was very nervous to kind of bring it up. I didn't know how my dad would take the news, especially because, he wanted me to be a doctor. So a lot of the stuff I was just dressing up and leaving the house and doing my shoots and just being super low key about it. But then I partnered with Holy Chic by Mega. I'm not sure if you are familiar with the brand or if the audience is familiar with the brand, but they're an Indo-Western fusion clothing line, and they just represented New York Fashion Week this past year. So they're doing amazing, and I remember when I got the partnership opportunity with them, and they posted me on their page. It was a really nice moment for me because at that time that was the biggest partnership that I had, and to be featured on a page and to be featured by someone that I really look up to as a designer, I felt like it was time to talk to my dad about this and kind of come clean about what I've been doing for the past, at that time, like 6, 7 months. So I remember I was in New York. My dad picked me up from the airport, and I was so scared to bring it up to him, but I just knew it was the I just knew I couldn't hide this forever. So I showed my phone. I showed Holy Chic by Mega's page, and I was like, "Daddy, like, this is what I've been doing every time I said I was dressing up. I was going out and doing photo shoots." And I think I just left it at that. And I was so scared because I was like, okay, he could either yell at me now and, say a million things, or who knows what's going to happen. And I remember he took my phone and he just took like a really close look at the picture, and he was so quiet. And he told me, it was like a 180, Julie. Like, he told me he hopes that one day I can quit my job and do this full time. And it was definitely like a turning point in our relationship too, because, up until this point, I was definitely like the black sheep and stuff. So to kind of see my dad being able to support me, which is something that I don't think that I had like earlier on in my life, it motivated me that much more to just really try and go for it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, our parents always come around. I mean, they kind of have to at the end of the day, especially when they see how happy you are doing whatever it is you're doing.
So yeah, I was really grateful. But so that was family. All of my friends have, been super, super supportive. In terms of any criticism that I faced, I would say, maybe when I was in the dating pool, when I first started dating and I was doing this as like a startup, I wasn't really working with partnerships. I wasn't working with brands. I was essentially just building my portfolio by taking different pictures and showcasing different explaining different holidays, or showcasing, for example, what the tikka meant in our culture, and just teaching people more about the Indian culture. But overall, it was just modeling, and it was a lot of just my pictures. And so some of the commentaries that I received, while I was kind of in the dating stages, were, "Is this the right girl for you?" Or, "She really full of herself because she just keeps taking, pictures of herself." And not every picture was a picture that you would show your parents. So, there was definitely some, I would say, a little bit of backlash. Now, again, not from my side, but when that did happen, I had to have a really honest sit-down conversation and explain to my partner, this is really important to me. I need you to be on my side. These are things that I'm not necessarily hearing, but in case you hear something, I need you to know I have a vision that is far greater than just pretty pictures, and this is exactly what it is. So if anyone says anything, like, I need you to have my back and I need you to support me. And so I would say throughout my relationship, like, I would say it's gotten so much stronger where I've showcased in ways I needed him to support me. I've showcased ways, even with explaining how the algorithm works on Instagram, ways that he could show me his support and how it helps. And I feel like one that's made our relationship stronger. And as I guess the partnerships started to roll, and I think maybe the pivotal moment was even with Express, it's been a complete different world now. I feel like, I think people are really trying to catch on, like, what I'm trying to do with this, and my message is maybe more clear as I've been consistent with it. But the main thing is I just never let it stop me. I just had to make sure that I stayed consistent with it and I kept delivering content no matter what white noise was in the background, because I knew this was something that I wanted. And the only thing that could get me to that finish line was drive.
Yeah. You had that vision and there was no stopping you.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of dating and relationships and the like, you know, tell us about how you keep your balance, like between full-time job, you know, maintaining your relationship, maintaining your friendships, your family. How do you stay on top of all of that, both in terms of like managing all of your priorities and your time, and then also talk to us about like any tactical methods of organization that you use to stay on top of everything?
Yeah, I would say that I'm still working on balancing everything, because it truly does feel like two full-time jobs plus, you know, relationship, friendships, family. I would say keeping busy has helped me to better manage my time, versus if I felt like I didn't have much on my plate, it's a lot easier for me to just Netflix and chill all day. So I think it's definitely helped me to value my time with my family more, because, or even within, you know, my friend circle, because I realize I have a lot less time now versus maybe I had a year ago. So I try to stay as organized as I can. I'm not perfect, but I do just try to keep lists of all the things that I have to do, daily tasks that I have both in my 9-to-5 and things that I want to work on with the side hustle. I cross off whatever I've completed and look at whatever is still pending and see what can get pushed off. I think just having that checklist, that's just helped me immensely to just stay organized. But truly, it is still a work in progress. But I will say I've learned to value my friendships and my family and my relationship a lot more by staying busy.
Yeah, I think I can totally understand that sentiment. Like, I think I agree. Like, I feel like I'm a lot more productive too when I have mm-hmm. my hands tied in so many different things. It kind of forces you to be a lot more efficient with your time, because
right.
you know that you don't have a whole lot of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So I want to kind of shift gears a little and talk about the mental health aspect of all of this. So I know you kind of briefly touched on it earlier, but you know, there are like studies that show that have consistently showed and linked social media with a decline in mental health.
Yes.
And so with so much of this world for you being centered around social media, like how has this impacted your own mental health, and what are some of the challenges that you've experienced with that, and how have you worked through it?
That is such a deep question, and I'm so happy to be on here to kind of even explain my journey with it, because I feel like Instagram is a highlight reel, and the reason why I feel like the study explained what it did is because you see the glitz and the glamour on social media. You see everyone's high points, but you don't necessarily see the low points. You don't see many people talking about their vulnerabilities. So as someone, you know, from the outside looking in, I can look at someone's page and think, wow, they have a perfect life. They're always smiling. They're always happy. They have this, they have that. And then you start to compare yourself to their life. And you feel like, you know, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with my life? Like, why don't I have this? Or why don't I have that? And that's where I think it goes into that downward spiral. And so I would say Instagram overall is a highlight reel. Everyone struggles with something. And I know when I started putting myself out there publicly, it's one thing to put yourself out there once, but it is a completely different ballgame to put yourself out there consistently and be the face of your own brand while, you know, doing things like trying to secure a partnership. So I really don't know where to begin on this, but I just want to be transparent that it hasn't been all happy moments. I've really struggled with this in the beginning because this is so different from my corporate job again. You know, I was working at Amazon, working at Pepsi. I feel like I've had a very structured role within like accounting or finance where, you know, I have these tasks that I have to complete. And as long as I complete the tasks, you know, I go home and then I shut off my brain and I don't have to think about it until the next day. This is a completely different world where there really is no break. You can continue to work for as long as you want to. And it's very easy to feel insecure in the space, and it's very easy to feel anxiety. And in the summer, I had, you know, what felt like an anxiety attack. And so when I tell you the story, Julia, you're going to laugh because, you know, as an outsider looking in, you're going to be like, really? Like, that's what you had like an anxiety attack over? That, you know, it's so silly. But if you could just put yourself in my shoes as someone who is trying to balance 10 million hats in this like startup world, something again that I was not used to in corporate. I remember there was a brand that I really loved, like a skincare brand that I really wanted to work with. So I reached out to them, commented on a couple of pictures, and I waited. And I noticed that the brand was responding back to everyone else's comments but mine. And so I took it personally. I thought the brand hated me, and I thought that there was something wrong with me. And I literally went into a downhill spiral. I locked myself in my room for 3 to 4 hours. I didn't talk to anyone, and I was going through this self-sabotaging phase all because of the fact, the brand just didn't comment on whatever I commented on. And that's when I knew I needed help. I knew that there was no way that I could continue in this space without having the right mindset. Mm-hmm. And even though I started in this, you know, journey, and I wanted to get my feet wet and just see what I was getting myself into, it was time for help. And I knew, you know, this is going to deteriorate me if I didn't seek guidance. So there's people in this industry that have worked in this for years that were able to provide insight that, you know, I didn't want to make the same mistakes that I was making and have like this extremely negative outlook that I was having, where I was taking things personally when truly it could have just very well been that this brand is also wearing multiple hats and it could have just been overlooked. And so I sought out a mentor, and it was probably one of the best decisions. I also have a therapist that I go to. And so just making sure my mind was right, my mind was healthy. I realized your mind is what drives your success, especially in entrepreneurship. And so by having those things under my belt, I was able to even vent to my mentor about some of the things that I was experiencing while securing, you know, different partnerships. And being able to talk to someone who was able to relate was so nice, because as you said, there aren't too many people that are, you know, South Asian creators out there who can really understand. So by being able to talk to someone who does understand, it just, you know, takes a weight off your shoulder. So again, when I took that break over the summer, it was a well-needed break because I was able to come back with a much better outlook where I just stopped taking things personally, and mm-hmm. I finally grew thick skin. So when I started in this industry, I was, you know, I'm still sensitive, but I was very, very sensitive, and like I was taking things personally. But now it came to a point where I was able to put myself in a brand's shoes and realize, well, you know, they're nothing is personal. Like, they have a million things that they're working through too. And that outlook, I think, is what has helped me to almost like double my following at this point from when I completed like mentorship and gained some of the more mainstream media partnerships that I've been working on. So, you know, you should never feel ashamed to ask for help. It's one of the best things you could do for yourself.
Yeah. I'm so glad you shared that. I think a lot of people need to hear that, you know, part of social media, like for people who are consuming social media, it's so easy, like you said, to fall into that trap of comparison. Mm-hmm. But then on the flip side, for people who are creating content like yourself on social media, it's also easy to get, you know, caught up with all the pressure of putting out content in that consistent fashion, and then the followers and the likes and the engagement metrics. And then also just like the construct of putting yourself out there, right? Like, you're putting yourself out there for the world to kind of judge, and you have so many eyes on you, and that's a whole beast in itself. And like, the reality is all of that can take a toll on your mental health. And so I'm glad that you're actively, you know, or that you took steps to kind of stay even keeled and keep your head in a good, healthy space. So what advice or tips do you have for someone wanting to create a presence or a brand on social media?
Yeah, that is such a good question, Julie. I feel like, you know, I've talked about the ins and outs in this social media world, and I'm not sure if it portrayed, you know, any sort of negative light. That wasn't my intention at all. I just wanted to bring light into seeing, you know, how much respect anyone in the creative space deserves, because there's so much work that goes into this, and people truly put their heart and soul out there to create content. But for someone that does want to create a presence or brand on social media, my advice is, if you've been blessed to be able to meet your passion, go for it wholeheartedly. Go for it without question, because at the end of the day, no matter what happens, your drive is what takes you to that finish line. So just literally start. I've never really considered myself an entrepreneur, Julie. Like, you know, I have a 9-to-5, which I was perfectly content with. But once I started on this journey with content creation, that's when I noticed how true this quote really holds. So regardless of how many rejections I face, and believe me, I have faced a lot, and in the future, I'm sure I will face a lot too, I still find creative ways to be able to try and still build my network. I don't let it stop me from pitching to brands, or I still think of ways to create my own content. That drive, even though I face rejections, is what pulls me forward. So I always think to myself, you know, this is kind of like that starving artist mentality. And I think it's, you know, why I truly keep pushing in the space is because my drive keeps telling me that I can do it. So just start. Know you will make mistakes along the way, and that is perfectly okay, but you will grow and you will continue to improve with consistency. So that was advice number one. Advice number two is to just be you. Be so authentically you and share your unique story. I feel like it's very easy if, you know, a brand is trying to create a presence online, or someone's trying to be a content creator, to try and create content that's similar to the people that they look up to or the people that they admire. But it's always important to stay grounded and stay true to you, because that is who your audience is going to best connect with. And then third is just develop thick skin. Like I said, it was tough for me in the beginning because I'm naturally sensitive and an empath, and I took rejection very personally. But just remember, rejection is redirection, and what's meant for you will flow for you at the right time. Trust me.
Ooh, I love that. Rejection is redirection. I love it. Awesome. So much good wisdom and gems right there. And then, you know, how can people support content creators like yourself?
Yeah. So I feel like whenever I talk to my friends and family about what I'm doing, they feel so much energy and want to support in the best way that they can. But yeah, they're just not sure how. So it all comes down to what's called the Instagram algorithm, which is how Instagram promotes content to the viewer's eye. So the way it works is, the more engagement that a post has, the better the algorithm can work in a content creator's favor, because it's given more visibility both to the audience and outside audiences to be able to bring in new people to their page. So I say, whenever anyone asks me, how can I support? The best way to do it is to be able to save the post, comment on the post with three or more words, and like the post in that order. Once this is done consistently, the algorithm is able to pick up on this. And again, the higher the engagement a post has, the better its reach will be. And also, even just supporting, it doesn't even have to be like a content creator, but any of your friends that are on this entrepreneurial endeavor, supporting them by sharing their posts to your stories, word of mouth, even buying their products. It truly does go a long way.
Yeah, totally. So many ways for people to show their support. Well, thank you so much, Umbly, for being on the show today. I really learned a lot about your world. You know, it's one thing for us to see the final product or images on social media, but I think just listening to you share all that goes into it, obviously a lot of hard work and endless hours. So I think we can all certainly appreciate the work that you do a little bit more. But before we wrap up, I want to end with a fun little rapid fire Q&A. So I'm just gonna like rattle off two questions. You answer one or the other within like a second. Okay. It's
just, okay.
Like,
sounds good. Good
for us to get to know you a little bit more.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. So ready?
Ready.
Dogs or cats?
Wait, what?
Dogs or cats?
What? What did you say? Or cats. Dog or cat? Yeah. I think he's a Doja cat, and I'm like, what are we playing here? I have four cats. I'd say cats.
Okay, cats. Phone call or text?
Phone call.
Burgers or salads?
Burgers all day.
Yes. West Coast or East Coast?
Ooh, West Coast.
Yes, West Coast, best.
Fall, West Coast, best.
Fall or spring?
Fall. Fall's my favorite.
When you're walking, do you prefer music or podcasts?
When I'm walking?
Yes.
Podcasts.
Good answer. sneakers or heels?
Wait, depends on the occasion. Just like regularly, what I would prefer?
Yes.
Regularly, sneakers.
Okay. Last one. This is one is the center of a lot of debate.
Okay.
Toilet paper, over or under?
Ooh, under. I have to think about that one. Under.
Okay.
What about you? That's a good question. I never asked you this. In my years of friendship with you, I never knew this.
Well, just FYI for you and everyone listening, the original patent for toilet paper actually indicates that the paper is supposed to hang over.
Oh, I had no idea. I feel like it looks so aesthetic when it's under.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, Unbelievable. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was so fun having you. I can't wait to, one, release this episode and have everyone get a glimpse into your world. I'm so excited for you also to release all the fun campaigns and partnerships and stuff that you've got planned for the remainder of the year.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you for giving me this outlet to speak. I hope it inspires other people to just get out there and do what it is that they're meant to do.
Okay, you guys, quick follow-up. I totally forgot to ask Umbly to plug where people can find her, so I'm going to share that now. If you want to see what she's up to and support, you can find her on Instagram. Give her a follow there. Her Instagram handle is at UmblyXX, that's at AmblyXX. And she also has a website that is currently under construction but should be available soon. The website address is www.umblyjoes.com. So if you're listening to this episode well after the release, it will likely be up and running by then. And I'll also go ahead and link those in the show notes as well. Thanks again for tuning in, and catch you on the next episode.